Cliffcentral.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler, Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
All right, listen up. Tonight, 8 p.m., you're going to start a riot.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling with your host, Tim Stein.
Do I make you horny?
Mace.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Omega.
Nerd Alert.
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
And unfortunately, my neck does look like a vagina.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar.
This is Eric Bischoff.
Hey, everybody. This is Biff Naked.
Don't stop listening or I will find you.
Begin the unnecessarily slow-moving dipping mechanism.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Politically incorrect.
And damn proud of it.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Someone have allergies on this call?
Continue, apparently.
Jeez. Trying to do an intro here.
Professionalism. What?
No kidding. How long have we been doing this?
A very long time.
Yeah.
He has to wait his turn.
So, I, the one who am trying to do an intro while others are rudely sneezing and coughing into their microphones, am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have the birthday boy, Mace!
Yes, it is my birthday, but more importantly, it is the birthday of Mario himself. Very weird tidbit I learned this morning. I share the same birthday officially as Mario of Super Mario fame.
Oh, god damn it, I want Mario Maker so bad.
So do I. And what's really scary about the Mario birthday thing is that Mario is 2 years younger than I am. Yeah. God damn it. Anyway.
And, of course, also joining us tonight, the man old as Mario the name, not the character, the one and only Tim Stein.
That's not true. The name of Mario is a little bit older. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
You walked into it. Don't open that door. That's all I can tell you. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR's in the Night Rush Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah, we got a whole bunch of absolutely nothing heading your way. Very quiet week this past week in the world of professional wrestling. Nobody was murdered. Nobody got arrested. Nobody threw up on a fan.
Nothing really happened. Nobody was nearly stabbed.
Nobody was nearly killed to death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, the biggest news is Mace is now officially old. I'm not the only one anymore.
I haven't hit 40 yet.
I don't give a damn, mate. I really don't. And yes, I know you hate when I do that. That's why I did it.
I give absolutely zero fucks right now, so whatever.
Are you drinking yet?
No.
Aw? Did you drink yesterday?
No.
No preemptives? What's going on?
I'm doing this thing where I'm not drinking as much anymore.
Wow.
Mainly for health reasons.
Oh, health is overrated.
Yeah, but being able to breathe and move is usually a good reason to stop drinking.
Well, I suppose that's not a bad thing at all, yeah. So, anyway,
What? What? I wasn't here.
What was that? Ooh, ooh. Somebody popped the frosty one. So he says he's not drinking, and then he pops open the can.
No, that would have been Omega.
Yeah, which means it's Coca-Cola, not any kind of adult beverage.
Oh, you're not a part of the new generation? You don't drink Pepsi?
Fuck Pepsi.
Pepsi has a lot in common with Hoover vacuums. They both suck. That wasn't me attempting a bad joke. I was just being honest.
There's nothing wrong with Pepsi.
Pepsi sucks.
I just don't prefer it.
I prefer Coca-Cola over Pepsi. You know what the secret ingredient to Pepsi is?
Coca-Cola's ingredients?
Nope. Lemon juice.
Eh.
You know what Coca-Cola's secret ingredient is that they've kept locked in a vault in the corporate headquarters for about 100 years?
Probably a residual amount of cocaine.
No, they got rid of that in the 1800s. Their secret ingredient is orange juice.
Are you saying that because I'm Floridian?
No, I'm saying that because it's the truth. I don't give a damn where you live. If you lived in Alaska, it would be the same. It would still be orange juice. They wouldn't change it just because you didn't live in Florida.
Yeah, well, I don't care.
There you go. Okay. So as long as you don't care, Omega, why don't you tell us your win for the week?
God damn it, New Day. Oh, my God.
All right. I'm not going to let Omega talk. I'm going to cut Omega off.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Because just...
How unusual.
Just go from here.
What is it?
Hey, Seth. It's been a while. You know, the last time that we saw you, you got your little goon squad to cheap shot us. Then you stood on my neck and threatened to paralyze me for life. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember it very well. Mm-hmm. I did what I had to do to get the authority back into power. I think anyone should understand that it would be you, Mr. Ultimate Opportunist.
Yeah, I do. But here's the thing. You didn't get the job done. So why don't you try right now?
What? Maybe I've got a lot on my plate tonight.
Yeah.
Why'd I have to listen to that?
For this all my life.
Okay, hold it down, respect the crap. Hold it down, hold it down, respect the...
BATTLE!
Yeah!
Yeah. Perfect!
You
got him! I got him!
You're acting like you won. You said battle.
You just won.
Oh, no. You can't have a battle. Everybody knows. Without a kazoo.
What?
Oh, yeah. I got a song I think you guys will know, and... I think you can also agree it totally reeks of awesomeness.
New
Taste of
that's not a good
one. No,
Taste
of Lux.
No, that's not good.
No,
Taste of
Lux. No, stop.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't care about your kazoo, son. You
okay.
Where you guys going? No, stay right there. I got something that you guys might want to know. You see, we just got done talking to the authority. Next week, right here on Raw, the primetime players got a rematch for your World Tag Team Championship.
Why?
You shouldn't be telling us this. You know what the best part about it is that the winner of this match, we get at the Night of Champions.
No.
You don't know.
Why don't you
have a ticket anyway? Hey! Now you can leave.
We had plans anyways.
We had a match.
We things
we was gonna leave anyway.
Going,
we know.
We're going.
Hey, wait.
Whoa.
Did you hear our new song?
No, we didn't hear you.
You ain't got bars. You ain't no musicians,
okay,
son. You didn't.
Taking no pipes.
Check this out. Get the tape.
Hey, what?
Get the tape. Get the tape.
New Day in the
Rock.
What?
Why did you cut out the one piece of that I wanted to hear?
I didn't cut anything out of it.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, you did.
No, that's what I grabbed from the WWE's YouTube channel.
Well, you
fucked. That's why. No, yeah. WWE cut it out.
Yeah. That was
copyrighted sounds.
Yeah, I downloaded
yeah,
it right off
Xavier thing. Woods playing someone else's song.
Yeah, that's what happened. They cut it out of the thing.
Bullshit. Bullshit, that was the best part.
Sorry, but that's what they had. But anyway,
yeah,
as you were saying, New Day.
Yeah. For those who didn't see the promo, and for those who only heard that portion of the promo, New Day walked in with Xavier blowing his trombone to the tune of the Final Fantasy victory music, which is about one of the dorkiest things he's done on, you know, live television, and it was glorious. Because my Twitter feed blew up. Because everyone immediately recognized that. All of my, wrestling geeks knew what that was. And he did it again during the match. The match was better with him doing the sound effects to everyone attacking in the ring, the big wind-up for the dropkick in the corner. It's like watching a cartoon. And it was amazing. God, I am shocked that such, a random, such a bad gimmick turned around so much.
Apparently, Mace found the song for you. Here you go. Feel
the power! Seth, you thinking about the past, son?
Oh, no!
You still got one more match to go. Don't let your focus go astray, for behold your partners, the New Day! We got bars around it!
There you go.
Thank you.
The Florida gods are appeased. All right, so basically that's your win?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That entire clip, the whole thing, including the very beginning of it.
Yeah, especially the beginning of it. But yeah, New Day on Raw.
All right. Well, yeah, okay. Mace, what's your win for the week?
I pretty much echo Omega. he and I were sitting here talking about giggling like little friggin' fanboys. Yeah, New Day, Final Fantasy. For some reason, Xavier Woods with the trumpet. Yeah, that's working.
Well, fair enough. That's a twofer. Just to be different, I'm going to pick the Austin podcast immediately following Raw as my win for the week, actually. Edge and Christian on there talking with Stone Cold. Really insightful interview. It was really entertaining and very enjoyable. I don't know if you guys caught it or not.
Don't look at me.
You didn't get it. Yeah,
how long?
Yeah.
6 seconds.
All right.
Okay, so the answer is yes, you saw it. There yeah. you go. But yeah, no,
and
it was
Austin with the cowboy hat and the ukulele once again.
Yeah, and the damn thing was out of tune.
Yeah, it was quote unquote out of tune.
What ukulele's in tune?
Yeah, no, Austin pointing it out before he did anything, but then actually going ahead and singing the song on the uke. But no, they had a good time. They were very entertaining. So that's my win for the week. What would be your fail, Mace?
I'm going with, oh my god, why the fuck are we doing another Miz and Big Show feud? Why, oh why, oh why? Pure and simple, I just, no, don't want to see it. Why are we doing this? Yeah. Why are we trying to keep Big Show relevant in this day and age?
I don't know.
Why the hell is the Miz still relevant? Both of them together just does not make good TV viewing.
I don't think they're using those guys for anything more than filler because they can't figure something else out that's good. Creative sucks lately. I don't know. That's just my thinking on it. But, valid fail. What about you, Omega?
When is the last time Cesaro won a solid match?
Hmm.
I'm really tired of one of the best wrestlers on the roster who's gotten way over with the fans by himself against creative's decisions, against the plan. Yeah.
Didn't he win on SmackDown?
Jeez. I'm talking like real television here.
Real TV, not sci-fi.
Real TV, yeah.
Not sci-fi. We're the only show sci-fi after 11 p.m. at night.
Well, it's stop being sci-fi. It's sci-fi.
Sci-fi.
He did a draw with The Miz on the 7th on Raw. defeat.
Yeah, on Raw he technically won, but it was by count-out. And then the Big Show came back and punched him out for no good reason.
Everything else is defeats until you go back to June the 29th on Raw, where he drew against John Cena.
I didn't think it was that far back.
Wow. Really?
So let's going by this database I'm looking at the moment. Like, it's a pro-fight database.
Yeah, but, I mean, they've got such, that's bottled lightning with Cesaro. He's so good in the ring. He is connecting with the crowd in spite of what Vince is thinking. And he's being treated like the biggest jobber since Zack Ryder.
Or Damian Sandow.
He's the most, both of them, like, in your long-running line of, a lineage of long-running, like, super over jobbers.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a Cesaro win. It was at the latest Australian House shows. He defeated Kevin Owens.
That would be a good win. That'd be a good win if, you know, there's a television camera there.
Well, there you go. Yeah, okay, so the way they're misutilizing Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got no debate on that one at all, because I can't disagree with it. One little bit. Yeah, no, my fail for the week is this whole, you know, that even though Lana's hurt and she's out for 4 months, they're still continuing with the storyline. I mean, Monday night, Summer Rae comes out and she just, like, tries to plead her case and then gets interrupted by Dolph Ziggler. After, you know, and Rusev comes out and says, yeah, you screwed up, but I forgive you because I don't like Dolph. Is it just me, or has Rusev's accent been slipping here and there lately? Have you guys noticed this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened Monday, and I thought it was exceedingly obvious. I don't know, maybe I was just paying too much attention to it, but it just really seemed very noticeable that his accent was slipping on Monday night. Maybe it's because he's just not in that into this storyline, in which case I could probably forgive him. But that's my fail for the week. This is a whole bunch of bullshit. It's just, it's not working. I don't see how people could think that it's working. So
I muted that whole segment.
So that's the part
it just
where,
like, streamed like, oh yeah, there's soap opera writers backstage.
Yeah. Well, when those segments come on, that's usually when I get up and do my dinner dishes and get them all cleaned up. So, but yeah, that's my fail for the week.
See, that's been the great thing about my schedule lately. I haven't actually watched Raw live in about 3-4 weeks.
So you get to, like, fast forward through the crap.
Yeah, I get the fast forward through all the shit, and usually anything revolving that storyline comes in, it's like fast forward, fast forward, zip. Fast forward, go faster, faster, zip. Faster, fucking
zip. Fair enough. Absolutely fair enough, yeah. So there's one and fail for the week. If you people who happen to be in the chat room feel like posting what you think was your win for the week and your fail for the week in the world of professional wrestling, it doesn't have to be just necessarily WWE. I mean, if anybody still watches TNA anymore, if anybody can watch TNA anymore.
Even in the UK, they're not watching TNA anymore.
Yeah, no kidding. So, feel free to post your wins and fails. It's like, play along with us. Just post them in the chat room. There you go. So just a reminder, everybody, hey, we've got WTR Pick'em coming up a little bit later on tonight, because Night of Champions is when? That's right, next Sunday night, which means we're going to be preempted for a whole hour. WTR Sunday night will not be on until 11 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Mountain, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network next Sunday night, where we review Night of Champions. And, of course, for the entire week, we're going to let our listeners get involved with Pick'em. And, Mr. Producer, what is the winner getting?
Nothing.
He stepped away. Yeah.
They get nothing.
He stepped away. He's not supposed to step away until halfway through segment one. We're only a quarter of the way through. Anyway, all right, yeah, you guys, you're going to actually get a chance to win a digital copy of Daniel Bryan's autobiography. Yes, My Incredible Journey to WrestleMania, or whatever it's called, something like that. So that's up for grabs for the winner of WTR Pick'em. And what's really cool is everybody on the planet has a chance to win this thing, Omega.
Except us, because we're disqualified.
Well, yeah, except for the people who are actually doing stuff, things on WTR. But everybody else, like Mace, do you know anybody in Australia?
I know quite a few people in Australia. People that listen to the show, and that's another question.
There you go. Well, if you're in Australia and you listen to the show, you got a chance to win the autobiography. We will email it to you, like, immediately, as soon as you win. So once again, the best way to play Pick'em right now live in the chat room is post as we go through. But you also want to post it on the Facebook groups page, facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork. All else fails, you can actually email to media@WildTalkRadio.com if you want. But hey, get involved when we get to Pick'em in segment three tonight, and tell everybody you know we got a pretty damn good prize up for grabs. Have them come into the chat room and play along with us. That's coming up in segment three. Segment two, after our first break tonight, we actually have a live report of the Saturday Night House Show, guys. Country
Yay.
Boy. Yeah, Country Boy Aaron Frost will be with us. He went to the WWE House Show Saturday night in Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada here, and he's apparently got 45 minutes of shit to talk about, and we're going to squeeze it into 30 minutes.
Cool. In the meantime, we do have a listener fail.
Oh, we do?
Yes, our good friend Chase in the chat room has said the fail for the week is Eva Marie. Any time that she's on TV is torturous, and I agree.
Well, isn't that just a given, though? Like, are we going to let them have that, or is that just like, you know?
It is beyond painful to watch, though.
Yeah, sure.
At this point, it's kind of like complaining about JBL's commentary being out of date. Like, I expect that.
Yeah, but watching NXT this past week and just seeing, like, having to watch her be carried by one of the quote-unquote new rookies, literally having to pick Eva Marie up to have her hit her finisher, and oh my god, it was just no. Get the bitch off TV, please.
Yeah, and there was the fun part recently where she forgot to kick out.
Somebody watched WrestleMania recently.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, that's for her, and we'll accept that from Chase. And of course, good old Chase Merman, you too have a chance to win because I know how much you wanna. So everybody's got an even chance. We're actually starting with a clean slate for Pick'em. So, but before we go to our first break of the evening, we've got a few odds and ends to throw out there. You guys know that Lana's now been confirmed that she's out for 4 months after breaking her wrist, a bone in her wrist.
Yeah, supposedly it's an extremely screwed up thing that she's done. Fractured the distal radius on the Voltar plate. What the fuck? I feel like I'm reading some sci-fi fucking thing.
Yeah, everybody's going, what the hell is that? It's one of those bones in your wrist that you don't want to break. Just about anything else and she could have been
as opposed to all the other bones that are just fun and delightful to fracture.
Don't be a smartass and let me finish what I was saying.
It's like why call it the funny bone if it hurts when... Yeah. When he hit it, it's not funny.
It's funny to everybody else, but no. If you're gonna wind up breaking a bone in any part of your arm or wrist, this is the one that you don't want to break because it takes so long to heal. If it was her arm proper, she could have probably been back within 5 to 6 weeks. Not a big, huge deal. During training, she landed wrong, put her hand out to break her fall and snapped it. I guess that's what happened. So,
and yeah, considering they've had to use like screws and shit to set it back into place so it'll heal properly, this is not your average injury. This is like fucking scary shit.
Well, yeah,
mind you, at the same time, you know, okay, sure, she's got screws in her wrist and everything to keep it still so it'll heal properly.
Yep.
Put her arm in a fucking sling, get her back on television. Pull the sympathy. You know, they had fucking Summer Rae show up with a black eye last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Yolanda coming out with a broken wrist and say, yeah, I did it. I broke my hand beating the bitch.
Yeah, you know, that would work. And to tell you the truth, I've been thinking about that. That would not surprise me.
I slapped the bitch so hard I broke my wrist.
Yeah,
that would be great.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Lana with epic pimp hand.
Yeah. I would not be surprised to see her actually come back and have WWE actually do that. Of course, she was in training to have her first ever match in WWE against Summer Rae at Night of Champions. I think that's when it was supposed to be, Night of Champions or the next pay-per-view. But, yeah, definitely that's been put on hold indefinitely. And you read all of these websites all over the internet. Lana out of action for 4 months. And I'm thinking, wait, when has she been in action? Just because she broke her wrist doesn't mean they still can't use her on TV. And so let's see her show up tomorrow night. And like May said, you know, like this happened because I socked her so hard because she deserved it.
Yeah, but then again, you also got to remember we're dealing with WWE creative. Chimps are more intellectually developed than the WWE creative writers. They couldn't think of something so simple as, you know, she comes out in, you know, with her arm in a sling or something and say, yeah, I broke shit while beating up the bitch.
Yeah. So, well, we'll find out tomorrow night whether or not, whether or not they decide to use her. So that's news for Lana. You guys might...
She probably won't be actually on TV for at least another month. If you've got screws and plates and shit holding all your bits together, you're going to be drugged up to the eyeballs for at least a month.
Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah, I didn't stop and think about
I had a stepfather who had a rock out of the back of a slasher go straight through his leg, shattering the bone. Had it held together with screws and telescopic pipe. He wasn't even allowed out of the hospital for nearly 3 months. But because we're talking a wrist injury, it might be about a month before she'll actually be allowed out of hospital.
Well, you know, in this situation, time will tell. But moving on, you guys are probably going to be interested in this little bit of news for NXT TakeOver. The main event will be a 30-minute Iron Woman match between Sasha Banks and Bayley for the NXT Women's title.
Yes, it's the main event of a TakeOver show. And a 30-minute Iron Man match between Bayley and Sasha Banks. How could we not love this enough? This is the type of thing that we've been praying for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we finally have the women as the main event, not the co-main event, as we had at the last TakeOver show in Brooklyn, but we have them as the main event of a show.
Yep.
You know, it was like, when was the last time we saw the women main event a Raw? I think it was somewhere back in the early 2000s. Well, for Stratus.
I don't have a clue when it was, but all I know is that if there was a women's main event, Trish Stratus was involved. So that should tell you probably how long ago it actually was. Yeah. No idea.
No, it is a magnificent thing to see. Like, it shows the Divas Revolution. It ain't fucking happening on Raw.
Well, here's the thing, all right? If you guys missed TakeOver Brooklyn, you missed probably the best women's match this is going to sound kind of suspect, but of the century, which is saying a little bit more than you think, because, of course, the century also includes a little bit of Trish Stratus' work.
By the way,
Omega, before you gush on the match, it was the December 6, 2004 edition of Raw, WWE Women's Championship match between Lita and Trish Stratus.
Okay.
It was the last time you saw a women main event Raw.
And it was Lita and Trish, so.
And that was just a weekly event, not a bi-monthly, like, TakeOver.
Yeah, you've never seen women actually headline a pay-per-view, for example, or any of those type of high-end events.
Yeah. Yeah, if you missed it on TakeOver Brooklyn, you missed the match of the year. Men, women, transgender, no gender, I don't care. Match of the year. And this is just, like, so excited. Like, I'm like so like cautiously hyped up for this because, oh my god, these two going at it for 30 minutes. Iron Woman match rules.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. We just talked about, would an Iron Man match actually work in modern WWE? Well, we have to cut it in half, but
on the main roster, the only way an Iron Man match works nowadays, you can do 60 minutes, but you have to have at least three pinfalls.
At least three pinfalls, at least two usages of weapons, and at least two outside interference.
I mean, the absolute most classic Iron Man match ever, and I'm not saying it because I'm a Bret Hart mark, but I know you guys will agree with me. Bret versus Shawn for the title. that actually went into overtime at the behest of Vince McMahon because there must be a winner.
Yeah. 1 hour.
You couldn't do that. Yeah, you couldn't do that.
1 hour, no pinfall, that never worked today.
Nope. But it worked because Bret and Shawn, at this point in time, they were at the beginning of absolutely despising each other. But they were so good at working each other, they made that entire match entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of those two that that thing was, and not just regular TV, but a pay-per-view.
Yeah, WrestleMania.
Yeah.
No, I'm cautiously optimistic for this match because, yeah, these two, like, tore the house down at TakeOver Brooklyn. I'm really looking forward to what they can do with even more time. But at the same time, there is part of me nagging in the back of my head that it's not going to have the emotional pull that made the original one so good.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, Bayley's story is told. You know, her road to the championship is accomplished. This is about proving that it wasn't a fluke.
Yeah.
You know, not you could have a match like that and call it a fluke, but prove that not only can she win a belt, she can defend a belt even in the hardest conditions.
This is her chance to prove she's not a flash in a pan.
Pretty much.
Yes. And opposed to, like, you know, to compare it to Hollywood movies as opposed to a sequel, you get the feeling that this might be the middle episode of a trilogy. Now, the first one has come and gone and you're all wooed and wowed. You know the second one isn't going to be all that wooey wowy, but it might have that little darker twist that you're hoping for that you got with, Return of the Empire Strikes Back.
I don't think this is going...
Hold on, are we not forgetting that we've had some brilliant trilogies of matches in recent years? You know, Rusev, Cena, Kevin Owens and Cena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good work has been put together and putting on good trilogies of matches where the second one is usually the best one out of the lot.
Yeah.
There's nothing stopping these two girls from doing exactly that.
Exactly. Now, the thing about the second one being the second one, and it's like, oh, it's the second one, but in a trilogy, it winds up being the best of luck, because you know these two are going to fight a third time, and I'm happy with that.
No.
But
no. They're not going to fight a third. No, we're not going to have a third match. This is Sasha's farewell from NXT. She's main roster now. I'm surprised she's even going back for even a TakeOver main event at this point. It's an Iron Man match.
Mm-hmm.
There are very, very few matches where you put that on and the feud is over because there is nothing left to prove and nothing left you can do. Iron Man means this more than any because you're literally spending an hour or half an hour in this case throwing every possible thing you can at your opponent. You go through your entire list of moves that you've ever used in your career and then pull out a few that you hadn't tried before.
Yeah, okay. Now,
just to
I'm
fill
not,
the time.
Yeah,
to
I'm
go,
not...
To what?
I'm
interrupt
sorry
me
to,
again.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just have to point this out to you before you can continue. I'm not claiming insider sources, but the third match I'm referring to, don't be surprised to see it actually happen on the main roster.
Bayley's in NXT for another year, and you know that. It's not going to happen. Yeah, not for by the time we get another Bayley versus Sasha on the main roster, it's not going to be a trilogy anymore. No, Bayley's walking out of this with a second win, so even then, the trilogy's not going to matter.
Yeah. No, it would be 2-0. It wouldn't work having a third one.
Yeah.
But,
literally, you can't have another match after an Iron Man match because you throw everything you have into that one match. At that point, there's nothing left you can do in a match after that to top it or to come close to it because you've shown everything.
Plus, as Omega was pointing out, things like an Iron Man match is still considered a feud ender. You know, this is what you do to finish this off, exclamation point, that's it. You know, it's like using Hell in a Cell. Once upon a time, you used to use cage matches and, you know, false count anywhere in that type of situation. This is Sasha's farewell. This will be to solidify Bayley as your top woman in NXT, and this will be to really put the exclamation point on what the NXT women's revolution has been about.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I'm pretty positive we're all at least all four of us here are looking forward to watching these two girls work the main event of TakeOver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
Absolutely. And right before we take our first time out of the night, looks like we've got two title matches set up for tomorrow night. New Day and the Primetime Players are set for Raw tomorrow night. And, of course, Charlotte had her petition granted, and she's going to be facing Nikki Bella for the Divas title before Nikki actually makes it to becoming the longest-reigning WWE Divas champion in history. And what a long, glorious, and star-studded history that is.
Well, New Day versus Primetime Players, with the winners of the match obviously going up against the Dudleys at Night of Champions. That's going to be awesome, because, once again, Xavier Woods, you know, playing all sorts of music at ringside.
Yep.
I'm more worried about Nikki Bella versus Charlotte, because they can go two ways. You either have Charlotte win the belt, and we have another Paige situation where you pick the character too early, or you have Nikki win and the crowd just go, oh my god, and pull triggers on 4,000 guns at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Or you have the third option, which I reckon this would be the more hilarious option. You have Charlotte win, but at the same time during the match, you have the countdown clock. You have it hit zero as the ref hits three. So that gets Nikki the record book, Charlotte gets the belt.
No. It'd be funny, but I don't trust them or the referee to get the... I don't trust a Bella or a referee to get the timing on that dead on.
Yeah, would be... you know, the only person you can trust to get timing dead on would be Lex Luger. You're wondering where the hell that came from.
Jeez, no, I was going to go Sean and Bulldog, right?
That was one, but the one that I was referring to was Bret Hart, Lex Luger.
Okay.
Yeah, because that one was even more perfectly timed.
Okay, so no, the hilarious thing, you know, like have her little Bella clock up. I'll tell you how the match ends.
Do it.
Nikki's gonna have the advantage in her match. She's gonna get cocky. She's gonna start looking at her big clock up on the screen. You know, about to count down as she thinks she has Charlotte beat. Charlotte rolls her up 1, 2, 3. Loses the belt with seconds to go.
Yeah, I had the same deal, but with a tap out. And you can get away with the tap out because this, again, we're going to have to put some trust in Nikki and both and Charlotte. You can position Nikki in the figure eight so that she can see the clock. And as the clock, it gets to, like, two, she taps out.
Just
and
as.
It leaves 1 second on the clock.
Yeah. See, the story is so much better. Like, you don't run a story like this, especially when a heel's doing it just to give the heel that little win, because there's nothing to that. There's no story to it. It's just bragging. And there's no real credit to the bragging. But if she loses it with that much time to spare, it's hysterical.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you guys this question here. Night of Champions, the Divas title will be on the line. It will be defended. If Nikki retains tomorrow night, is there any reason for her to face Charlotte again in a rematch?
No.
However, if Charlotte wins tomorrow night, Nikki has an automatic rematch.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, there's the only way.
Two Nikki title matches in the span of a week. Oh, God.
6 days. Head.
But yeah. At the same time, Charlotte's the only contender. Like, that's exactly how the booking makes sense, is if Charlotte wins it on Monday and Nikki puts a rematch clause in for Night of Champions.
Now, the question remains, if you go down that route, do you put the belt back on Nikki at Night of Champions?
Oh, hell no. Why would you do that? Make Charlotte a transitional champion?
It'd be better than giving her the belt, giving her a run, and doing a page where she peaked too early.
See, if they were really good writers, which they're not, but hear me out.
Yeah. Fantasyland, courtesy of Omega.
If they were really good writers, they would have Charlotte win on Monday night just seconds before Nikki broke that record.
Yeah.
Go to the pay-per-view, have Nikki win it back, and then completely fucking snap. and just lose her mind over paranoia of losing that belt again. Just her rambling insanely, I'm gonna beat the record this time. Like running out of title matches, like pulling any scheme she can to prevent herself from being in title situations, like complete nut job trying to hang on to that belt because she's so scared of losing it and not getting that record again.
So and so paranoid that she pushes Alicia and Brie away as well.
Yeah.
Now, here's the question. Is it at all possible for her to become the longest reigning Divas champion tomorrow night and then lose a title 3 seconds later? Can you see them scripting it that way?
No, because there's no point to that. Like, other than, you know, other than, like, the heel, oh, she has my belt, but I got the record.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a stalemate. There's not a whole lot celebrating you can do on either side. Like, it just... Mm-hmm. It tells the better story to tell is if she comes up just short.
Mm, yeah, well, that's the better story to tell. But
WWE.
Just hate to bring that up, and you know yeah. I was going to. We've seen shit like that before.
That's the thing. It's the WWE, and I could see them doing the worst scenario, which is Charlotte wins it after the timer expires.
Yep.
Because at least that way... they give that middle finger to every single remaining AJ Lee fan in the crowd and watching on TV. Because that's it. To be honest, that almost seems like the only reason why they started bringing up the topic to begin with. It's just we want to give every single one of you who still believe that AJ Lee is coming back the biggest middle finger we can give you.
Yeah, pretty much. And, of course, AJ had to retire from wrestling just because of the crap going on between her husband and WWE, so...
Yeah, and but the thing is, like, I love Omega's plan. It's a great plan. And I would add into that that it's an accident with Becky Lynch that cost Charlotte the belt.
Uh-huh.
At Night of Champion, so Nikki can retain, goes paranoid, pushes her sister and Alicia away. Then you have a reason to break up PCB.
Uh-huh.
And that leaves basically Team Bad, which... Let's be honest, you could just have Sasha do a single segment going, well, I was one of the greatest NXT Women's Champion, and both of you guys can't seem to get over on main events, so fuck you, see ya.
It's a backstage segment where Tamina... oh, God. Where Naomi and Tamina are like getting into just like your average rental car to go, you know, to leave the arena, and Sasha just like wanders away from them, steps into the backseat of an Escalade and gets driven off.
Or you could even have like just backstage during one of the women's matches, you have all three of them watching on the monitor and the crowd's chanting, "We want Sasha," and it's like, well, they don't want you two bitches. They want the boss. Like, it's so easy to break Sasha off. You just have her pull the ego and treat the other two as nothings and just walk out on them.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the easiest breakup of all these three little groups.
Yeah, because really, just by her gimmick alone, she should be better than those two. Fuck, I've seen her in the ring. She is better than those two.
There you go. I was waiting for that. So there you have it, everybody. Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow night. But
She's like, I've got giant security and Escalade's rolling up, and Naomi's like, I got light up shoes, and Tamina's like, my dad has a murder record.
Yeah, let's not bring that up. He hasn't got a record yet. He hasn't been convicted yet. So, but shall we do just a quick little prediction tomorrow night, and I'll say Charlotte wins the title.
Yeah, that's what I'd be going with.
Yeah, okay. I think we all agree that Charlotte is the one that's going to be taking that belt tomorrow night.
Yeah, and so you can be guaranteed that those two will face off against each other again Sunday night at Night of Champions. But we'll talk about that in segment three when we get to that part. That being said, we're going to take a first time out of the evening, everybody. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night, Russ Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we'll be right back on the other side of this break with country boy Aaron Frost giving us his rundown of the WWE house show, if you will, last night in Calgary, Canada.
about to rip shit up. Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Ain't nothing but a G-thang, baby. Too low, death niggas, so we're crazy. Death Row is the label that pays me. Unfadable, so please don't try to fake this. But back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfected, so I'ma let them understand from a young G's perspective. And before me digging a bitch, I have to find a contraceptive. You never know, she could be earning her man and learning her man, and at the same time burning her man. Now you know I ain't with that shit, Lieutenant. Ain't no pussy good enough to get burned while I'm offended. And that's realer than real deal, Holyfield. And now you hookers and hoes know how I feel. Well, if it's good enough to get broke off a proper chunk, I take a small piece of some of that funky stuff. It's like this and like that and like this, Anna. It's like that and like this and like that, Anna.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right.
It was this past Sunday. A plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, no. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait. That's all.
Los Matadores versus the real American.
Going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making it. I see them too in action, and I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores
Yep, and see if I seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good. I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team best title's on the line. AJ Lee versus Free Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Free Bella. I do remember that.
You do? You do? Free Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked three. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God. Get the fuck out.
I believe we changed to
the Rock. Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you,
I told you I'm my own worst enemy.
He coming just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it!
On the farm, it's kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. Thoroughly to ride, early in the sack, I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm, raising me a family and working on the farm. Days are all filled with an easy country charm, thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle, when the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Rush Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And yeah, I did that on purpose, and he's going to call me a dick for doing it. But ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program now, Mr. Country Boy Aaron Frost.
How's it going, fellas?
Oh, it's going pretty good, eh?
Yeah, it's not too bad. You're still a dick.
Figured you'd love that, man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, say hello to the boys.
Hi, fellas. How's it going?
Hey, yo.
Hey.
What up?
Hey, yo. What up?
Same shit, different day.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. So, Aaron, you attended the WWE house show at the Scotiabank Saddledome last night.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Well, it was.
Tell us about it.
Probably about 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10? That's better than we gave
SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
I mean, there was a couple matches where, like, everyone got all their seats and just left, but they kicked it off with Cesaro versus Harper. That was, like, their whole get-the-crowd-all-excited kind of match. It was a good big man match.
Yeah.
It was back and forth. So, Harper did a lot of, like, posing and, like, kicking on the crowd and stuff, but Cesaro, he was selling his ribs. He had his ribs all taped the whole entire match and stuff. As soon as he came out, like, he flashed the tape around his ribs and everything, and wasn't too bad. He was a good back and forth match. Cesaro went for the Cesaro swing a couple times and sold the ribs, and then he actually hit it on Harper and did two swings. That was it. Then, like, crippled and was holding his ribs and stuff. But, I mean, it was a good match. I mean, the crowd was into it the whole entire time, obviously, because he came out wearing a Cesaro Kid shirt and the crowd popped and stuff. But Cesaro went
over
that match.
It almost sounded like Cesaro was using this thing called psychology, which he's never allowed to do on TV.
What?
I know, right? There was a lot of, as I go through, like, the whole entire show, there was a lot of different psychology you don't see on TV. It was like a souped up indie show in my books.
For WWE, I would hope so. Like, you figure if anyone's going to look like a souped-up indie show, it would be them.
Well, I mean, like, it's good because
Like, there's a lot of spots that you don't see on TV that they could actually do. Like, there's,
I think it was Harper who actually did, like, the whole, like, Hogan pose kind of thing and did the Hogan leg drop. Yeah.
I can't picture Harper doing that, but I'm laughing at trying.
Yeah. No, but yeah, but like I said, he was doing a lot of, like, flexing and posing and stuff like that. But, I mean, it was a typical, like, Harper match, really. Couple spots. It was kind of like a John Cena five spot match, but.
But it was Luke Harper, so everybody cheered for him. Or they didn't say Harper sucks.
No, they didn't say Harper sucks at all. There was a lot of Cesaro pop. But, yeah, it was an all-around good match to get the crowd into it and everything.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, and like I said, Cesaro went over. The next match was just a complete waste of time.
What match was that?
Bo Dallas against R-Truth.
Oh, tear the roof down.
Really? Because usually R-Truth matches are a highlight of house shows.
No, that's definitely wasn't a highlight at all. It was a waste of time.
Bo Dallas.
Yeah, Bo Dallas came out and cut like his like promo about how we all got to believe in him and not the Flames and the Stampeders. And
For those of you listening who are not in Alberta, Canada, the Flames are the Calgary's NHL hockey team, and the Stampeders are Calgary's football team.
Yeah, it's heel 101. Hey, I know where you guys are from.
Yeah. But
I know, like, what town I am in. That's basically what it boils down to.
Yeah. How's it going, Red Deer? Wait a minute, what? Yeah, our church.
The Cubs suck. What?
We'll agree, sure. Why don't you say shit about Edmonton now? There you go.
Oh, there's some good Edmonton ripping too, but that comes later. But yeah, Bo Dallas came out, like I said, cut a promo and stuff, and he came out. There's like average pop for him, and then Truth came out and was getting the crowd all into it, saying what's up and shit. But it was back.
He actually said what's up and shit.
No. No, but seriously, like, I got up out of my seat. This is only the second match, and they, like, the whole, basically, like, the floor cleared, and then, like, half the lower bowl of the saddle room cleared.
Everybody decided to go out for a smoke or whatever.
Yeah, it was like an old Divas match, kind of. Everyone gets up, goes for a break.
Man, Bo Dallas getting the old Divas treatment. That's got to hurt, man. You did full leave?
Yeah. No, I did not at all. It was honestly, it was kind of like a squash because it was only like a minute and a half long. It was just, a complete waste of time. But, yeah, Truth went over. And, yeah, that was about it. Because as soon as they heard the bell and Truth music hit, everyone just started to file back to their seats.
Oh, Truth's coming.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, they all went back to their seats because the match was done, right? The next match was Natalya versus Alicia Fox. Alicia Fox came out. She was trying to be a heel, but it wasn't really working for her. And then Natty came out, and obviously it's in her hometown, so she got a huge pop.
Naturally.
Yeah. No, it was good.
Now, before you go any further, you and I both happen to know Natalya. Did you get a chance to talk with her yesterday before?
I did, actually. Me and my son and a friend went a couple hours before, and Natty showed up. And yeah, everyone was, like, freaking out and stuff. There was people actually crying, saying this is, like, my dream seeing Natty and stuff. Oh, I took my son up. Yeah, it was hysterical. And there was a couple, like, handicapped guys like, oh, I love you, Natty. I dream about you, and I see you all day. And just like, dude, you're creeping her the fuck out. Just leave her alone. yeah, she recognized me right away and stuff. We got a picture with my son and her and stuff. We talked a little bit. But then, it wasn't too bad, actually. Talked to her about TJ and stuff. TJ's doing well. He was actually in the gym 2 days after his surgery, working out again, getting strong and stuff like that. He hasn't taken any bumps yet or anything, which is obvious. But, yeah, he's in the gym every day.
No.
Yeah, but, yeah, all around it was a solid Divas match. They did a lot of – it was back and forth, really. Alicia put a lot of heat on Natty, obviously, because she was in her hometown and stuff like that, saying Calgary sucks and stuff, trying to get a USA chant going. There was even a chant, you're better than Eva.
Ooh.
Yeah, for Fox. Which, like, the whole crowd got into. It was kind of funny, actually.
And she's like,
that's a chant you could use on anybody.
Yeah.
Except but, I mean,
but like you guys remember when Fox came in though, she sucked. Like her and Eva could have a match and they could just stand there. They're like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, it took her a while to get anywhere near not bad.
Yeah. Well, it's just like Rosa Mendez, right? She sucks.
There you go.
Yeah, but like, Natty went over with the sharpshooter. She tried to hit it a couple times, but she finally got it on Fox, and then, yeah, she hit the sharpshooter. Crowd went crazy, insane. Natty cut a promo, and she was, like, actually in tears saying, like, thank you for the best welcome home ever and stuff like that. And then she's, like, slapped hands, signed autographs, took selfies, and went to the back. And then the next match was a tag match for the WWE Championship. Taking championships. It was a New Day against the Primetime Players.
Oh, tell me you had fun with New Day.
Yeah. Like, before the show even started, people were getting New Day sucks chants going. And then they actually got a Tabor Corn chant going.
Tabor Corn?
Yeah, the whole building. Tabor Corn. Tabor Corn. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Okay, yeah. Before you go any further, you got to explain Tabor Corn to the listeners. Here in Alberta, there's a little town south of Calgary, about, an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Two hours.
Yeah.
Just take the average. It's about a two-hour drive south of Calgary, just barely north of the Montana border, called Tabor, Alberta. And this is where they grow corn in Western Canada for Alberta, British Columbia, and Saskatchewan. And, like, this is huge. Tabor corn. People swear by it who live out in Western Canada. If you like corn, fresh
grown. Yeah, festival because of it.
Yeah, fresh grown corn on the cob. Tabor corn is the stuff that you want, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived in Ontario for 10 years surrounded by cornfields. I don't know about that. Tabor corn's good, but come on.
Tabor corn is awesome. I mean, there's a lot of imitators going around Calgary and stuff like that. But I mean, if they're actual authentic Tabor corn vendors, they'll have a certificate that says authentic Tabor corn vendor and have like the company's name. Gold.
As we continue corn talk live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah. Yes.
Sorry, I just had to bring it up.
Please keep going. This is amazing.
Yeah, well, yeah. Continue with the house show because people don't like corny jokes on this webcast.
Yeah, Tim. All right. So, like I said, it was New Day against Primetime Players. It was an average match. It was back and forth. There's a lot of New Day chants sucks. New Day sucks chants going. The best part about the whole match, besides this other part I'll talk about after, there was this little kid in the front row. He had to be about 7. He was in Biggie's head the whole entire match. The whole entire match. He was like doing like the whole entire hip thrust and everything, and Biggie would imitate him and stuff like that. Yeah, there was even like a Let's Go Kid chant going. This kid, yeah, he was like even standing on the guardrail. Like WWE security had to come get this kid off the guardrail. Yeah.
Not a Big E fan, I take it.
No, not at all. Another part I thought that was interesting about this match is Xavier Woods actually wrestled. Kofi was not here.
Oh, right. Kofi is off to Mexico promoting.
Yeah. It was different seeing Xavier Woods, but I mean, he's pretty good, actually. He's got good ring psychology, which I thought was pretty impressive, actually. Better than Big E's in my books. Just by the way, just doing stuff that the crowd would react to in the way they wanted its heels. And in the way that actually, like, made the match flow decent.
He's a smart guy. I should hope so.
Yeah. No, but, like, you don't really see him that much on TV, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of forget about him, and you think of him as being, like, the trombone-playing manager.
The cheerleader.
Yeah, the cheerleader, basically.
That's what I think of him as.
Yeah. he's pretty good at that, actually, for being a heel. But anyways, New Day went over dirty. It was kind of like you distract the ref kind of thing, because Big E and Titus were fighting on the outside. Big E got Titus down, distracted the ref. Xavier was giving for the roll-up. Big E told the ref, turn around, 1, 2, 3, holding the tights. And then after the match, Biggie started to go to the back, but then he was like, oh shit, I forgot about this kid. Goes right up to the guardrail, gets right in this kid's face, and like pushes the title right in the kid's face and walks away.
That's just mean.
It wasn't too bad. I mean, as a heel, and you're doing like, you're beaking this kid the whole show, it's kind of like a big fuck you at the end because you got the win, right? But.
Cool.
Pardon me?
Cool.
Yeah. The match of the night in my books was WWE Championship match, Rollins versus Ambrose. That was like the best match all night. It had good flow, good like charisma between the two, interaction with the crowd. It was back and forth, quick, fast paced. Like there was not even like a spot to even breathe during the match. It was just like boom, 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 boom. Let's see here. What else I have written down? Rollins came out first, got a huge pop, obviously, because I think it's the first time a WWE champion's been at a house show in Calgary since Bret had the belt. And let's see here. They actually got a This Is Awesome chant going at the house show. They actually got that chant, which I thought was pretty good. Like, they even both stopped and, like, looked into the crowd and looked at each other and, like, shook their heads kind of thing, like, yeah, we're tearing the fucking roof off this place. And then there was, like, a big brawl again. Another part I thought that was interesting about this match was there was a chant, "We want Sting." The lights went out. Sting's face appeared on the screen. And then Rollins is, like, kind of did the whole, like, outsmart you guys, I had this plan kind of thing. And did, like, imitated Sting with the big, like, woo chants and stuff like that. Like, his howl and stuff. What else? Let's see here. Then after that, there was more This Is Awesome chants. It was just back and forth. Like I said, like, there were spots you don't see on TV. One of the things I thought that was interesting about this match was Rollins actually went for the curb stomp. He actually went for the curb stomp on Ambrose, and Ambrose ducked it, and then went for Dirty Deeds. And then Rollins reversed that, and then they went into, like, it was a good chain spot. Just with the reversal and stuff, it was just chain, basically. Like, chain you don't see on TV because they can't do chain, right? So, like I said, it was quick. It was a quick-paced match. It was back and forth. Rollins obviously went over because he's a champion. But Ambrose, he was...
Did they announce that the title was on the line?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting because the night before at Edmonton, it was Rollins against Reigns for the WWE belt. The championship.
They do that at all house shows, though. They do that to draw extra people in. It's like, oh, the championship's on the line. It makes people think, oh, we might actually see a title change, which rarely happens.
Yeah, people remember Diesel and Backlund. Like, oh, I want to see that. Maybe that'll happen.
Yeah, Diesel and Backlund are Bret Hart and Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Who else? I can't think of anybody else that...
Raven and Jarrett.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and... God, you remember that one.
Of course, because it was Raven.
Bitterly. Bitter. And the funny thing was, it was in Canada as well.
Fuck Scott D'Amore.
That must have been Ontario.
See, but like the thing I also found interesting about this is they didn't actually advertise this match. They advertised a New Day against the Primetime Players for the tag team belts. And then they also advertised a street fight between Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt. Those were the only two matches they announced, and then it said, and many more. But also, after Natty arrived out back, Rollins and Ambrose actually showed up. Ambrose showed up in a limousine from the airport, because it said, like, YYC Airport on the front of it. And then Rollins showed up in just a regular SUV, straight-up guy. Even though he's, like, the champion and stuff, he's not a dick. He came up and was, like, signing autographs for the kids at the fence and stuff, saying hi, taking pictures and everything. Ambrose, on the other hand, he was a dick. Really? People are just like, oh, hey, Dean, how's it going? And stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, how's it going, guys? And just walked away with his head down. Like, I'd expect that out of Rollins and not Ambrose.
Well, here's the thing. You know, the heels are usually nicer to the fans after or beforehand than the baby faces.
Yeah, I do have to kind of agree with that. Yeah. I mean...
Plus, you also have to realize, like, and you'd know this yourself, Aaron.
Yeah.
But sometimes before a show, you don't really want to deal with the fans. You just want to get in, work your match, you know, unwind if you need to, depends on your travel. You know, so you could have just caught him on a bad day.
Yeah. I mean, I can agree with that 110% because, I mean, like you said, you just want to get there, work your match, and unwind, right? And then go to the next town or whatever.
On top of that, I could understand his attitude because he was at Edmonton the night before. That was for our Alberta listeners.
I can agree with that 110% because their football team sucks and so does their hockey team, so...
So there you go, yeah.
And then after that match, it was intermission. They had like a 15-20 minute intermission. I got up, took a stunt to go get some merch and stuff like that. Merch stands were packed. One thing I found interesting that they had was like signed Cesaro and Kid shirts, like their tag team shirts. They were signed. And then they had the Kevin Owens shirts. And another thing they had too was the Money in the Bank briefcase lunch boxes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, those sold out before any of the shirts did.
Jesus. Yeah. All the kids showing up at school on Monday.
I know, right? And then they wonder why, like, kids will be suspended from school.
Yeah. So,
Our whole crowd hoping Sheamus is there.
There you go. Yeah, how packed was the Hulk Hogan merchandise table?
What Hulk Hogan merchandise table?
Really, Tim? Really?
Yeah, I did.
There was a lot of people dressed up like Hulk, but you'd be surprised there was not a single male fan dressed up like Hulk. It was chicks with the yellow tape mustaches and the Hulk shirts and like the yellow like booty shorts and stuff like that and the red tube socks pretending they're boots.
Here's the thing. Chicks dressing up like Hulk Hogan are not chicks that you want to meet.
Why's that?
I'll let you think about it, Aaron. Never mind.
Okay. Just give me a bit.
Yeah, well, while you're thinking about it, continue on.
Okay. Another thing too that happened during intermission, there's actually a guy. It was an old man dressed up like Macho Man, and he walked down the stairs, and he was wearing tight, like skin tight, red, starred like leggings. Well, like sorry, like tights. And then he had a leather jacket with Macho Man and stars on it, the tassels and stuff like that. He had the full-on macho beard and mustache and the cowboy hat with the glasses. He looked just like Macho Man. They actually put the spotlight on this guy who was walking down the stairs during intermission. The whole crowd popped. The best part was, it was the guy was walking down the stairs. He had a beer in his hand and spilt it. He was like, holy fuck, like, I'm in the spotlight here. But he was taking pictures with kids and stuff like that. And it was actually pretty cool.
Well, I'm disappointed that he spilled the beer. Okay. Yeah. I'm not a fan anymore.
All right. And then continuing off the show here, after intermission, I don't know why they put this match next. It was the Ascension versus Sandow and Axel. It didn't really.
Oh, I can see why they put it there, considering, yeah, I've looked up the results for the show that you went to. Yeah, considering the match that precedes this, like, comes afterwards, yeah, I see why they put this match on.
Well, you also put this match there in case anyone's having trouble getting back from intermission.
I agree 110% with that.
There's a mile-long line for Money in the Bank lunchboxes, but, who cares? The next match is Who Cares versus Who's That?
Yeah, that's sort of like when they did the house show here recently. Yeah. They did the spot between Shawn Michaels and Bo Dallas to give people time to get back to their seats.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it makes sense, but no. Like, I didn't think it really made sense because, I mean, you still want the crowd to be in it after intermission, especially with the next two matches that follow it.
Did anybody realize?
Yeah, this is your cool down.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Did anybody realize Victor from the Ascension was Apocalypse from Stampede?
Yeah, there's actually several signs that said, "Welcome back, Victor."
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, he acknowledged it.
Looks totally different, so.
Yeah, he acknowledged the people with the sign and stuff like that when he got in the ring, and then they did their typical pose. And then after their entrance, it was Sandow and Axel. Sandow came out wearing, like, the Macho Man tights kind of thing like he was doing. And then Axel came out wearing his Axelmania tights. And there was a lot of pop for Sandow, more than Axel, actually. I think Axel actually realized that during the match, because he's like, cheer for me! And they had the whole, we want Sandow Chance going instead of Axel. Like I said, like, I mean, yeah, I agree with you guys kind of about having this match after intermission. But at the same time, like I said, like, you want to keep the crowd into it and stuff. But Sandow and Axel went over, obviously, because the Ascension are just jobbers. But other than that, it was a decent match. It was back and forth. The finish didn't really make sense because Axel tagged in Sandow, and then Sandow rolled up Victor, and that was it. That was the finish. And everyone's like, what the fuck? I was even like, that was a waste of time. But okay.
Well, you had the popular guy going over out of that match. It does make sense. Plus, you can't do the two hometown victories in one night.
Yeah, which makes sense. But still, I don't know. I didn't really agree with the way the match played out. There was a lot of tagging back and forth and everything like that. Another thing I found interesting, too, is Connor. He's actually super fat. Him and Kevin Owens could be, like, kind of comparable, but not really. Connor's more wide than Owens is, as Owens is, like, deep. But I don't know. There was a bitch tits chant going for him and everything.
Bitch tits?
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah.
No, there's a reason why I said yes, Aaron. You don't know this, but a couple of years ago when I was running regular Calgary Canadian All-Pro shows, and that asshole from Edmonton was coming in, Mace spearheaded it, and Omega backed him up. They wanted me to get the crowd to get a bitch tits chant started whenever Styles came out.
You said his name.
Just his last name.
Yeah.
But well, yeah, we got a bitch tits chant going.
Well, we used to do that in Lethbridge too, when Derek Cross used to wrestle in Lethbridge.
Yeah, yeah, but that's Derek Cross.
Yeah. The next match was actually, it was a decent match. Kevin Owens against Chris Jericho, which I thought was a really good pairing, actually, considering the physical shape Owens is in. Jericho's actually packed on the pounds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's got a paunch. He does kind of like, you can't even see like the front elastic on his tights. It hangs that down that low.
All that time traveling and touring with his other shit going down and not taking time to go to the gym.
No, exactly. Owens came out to huge pop. Kind of thought he was going to be kind of a face, kind of a heel at the same time, but he came out, like, acknowledged the crowd and everything. Did the whole kind of like Randy Orton kind of pose, got huge pop. Then he cut a promo. He's saying his promo was how he was in Edmonton the night before, and that place blows. And then he just like, you know what's even better than that is that this place sucks 10 times worse, talking about Calgary. And then he had the fans completely booing him.
That's what you call a bait and switch.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was good. And then he talked about how he's only been in this city talking about Calgary for a couple hours, wants to leave and no one can stop him, leaves the ring, lights go out, then Jericho's music hits.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool. Huge pop for Jericho, obviously, because he got a start in Calgary with Stampede Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
For the older guys that would know Tim.
Well, and he's technically a hometown boy, so.
Yeah. He came out. Owen started to cut a promo on him about what do you think you're going to do? You haven't been seen in months in WWE, just being a dick. And Jericho took his mic out of his hand, and it actually looked like that wasn't supposed to happen because Owens was like actually legit surprised. It wasn't one of those theatricals, like, oh, holy fuck, like, what the fuck happened kind of thing. He was actually surprised. And then Jericho told him to shut his mouth, let him talk, and then Jericho cut the whole, Calgary is Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole crowd popped, and he kept going. Owens grabbed another mic from the announcer, started to talk on it, starting to cut Calgary down, Jericho down again, and then Jericho took that mic too. And then Owens seemed surprised, which was pretty cool, actually. And Jericho looks at him, he's like, oh, and I stole your mic again. He's like, and I can talk in this one, and I can talk in this one, or who really gives a shit, I can talk in both of them.
You know, it was basically a case of Jericho schooling Kevin Owens on how to cut a promo.
Basically. I was just about to say that, actually.
Because then, do it.
And then Owens went and grabbed another mic, the corded mic that they use for the bell.
Uh-huh.
And it was only so long, so he had to kind of lean back, started to cut a promo on it, and Jericho went to take that one. Owens ducked it. Owens turned around, and he got double-clocked by the mics by Jericho. And then it was just an all-out fight after that. It was back and forth. It was more Owens at the start than Jericho, considering Jericho attacked Owens, kind of turned the tables on him. It was back and forth, like I said. Owens, there was a couple spots in the match that didn't really make sense because he got Jericho down, sat him up, ran the ropes twice, and then stopped behind him, and dropped to his knees and put him in a headlock. We thought he was like going to boot him in the face, kick him in the back or something like that.
That's like classic Owens. It's to work the crowd up, expecting a big spot, and then deny it. It's him trolling the crowd.
Yeah, he did that. He did that twice. And then he went for it the third time, and Jericho just rolled back and kicked him right in the head. There was a lot of botched spots in this match on Owens' part, believe it or not.
Botched?
Owens, pardon me?
You said botched?
Yeah. There was a lot of botched spots. Like, it was, I think Owens might have been trying new stuff.
Yeah.
But the one that surprised me is he went for the poutine powerbomb and completely, like, fucked it up, fell on his side. Jericho didn't even sell it, just rolled. It was like a big fuck you, Owens, you fucked it up kind of thing. And there was a bunch of you fucked up chants. Yeah.
Yeah, not impressive.
No. And then he went for, what did he go for? He went for the enziguri and actually went right over top of Jericho's head. And Jericho just like kind of did like the Kevin Nash kind of Ric Flair like, oh, I guess I better bump, and just fell backwards. Yeah. And then there was some more you fucked up chants. But Owens paid for it, though. Jericho stiffed him a lot. Did kind of like a Pele kick and just booted him solid right between the eyes. But other than that, Jericho obviously went over because he was in his hometown. Mm-hmm. Well, kind of like in Canada kind of thing. Shook hands after the match. Owens kind of rolled out, kind of no-sold the, what do you do? Oh, the lion salt was the finish. Kind of no-sold it, just like walked away like, fuck you, you stiff me kind of thing. I mean, I've done it before, but other than that, it was a solid match. Crowd was really into it. There's a lot of let's go Owens, let's go Jericho chants going, but Jericho was like more pronounced with the crowd and stuff. The main event was Reigns against Wyatt in a street fight. First,
how was the crowd response to Reigns coming out?
They booed him.
He's more over in Edmonton than he is in Calgary.
Yeah, they basically almost booed him out of the building. He came through the crowd and stuff. His typical Reigns entrance, shook hands, signed autographs. He was coming down. Wyatt came out first, though. He got more pop than Reigns did. And then they, like, got in the ring. Wyatt did this whole entire, like, blow out his electric lantern, push the button on the bottom kind of thing. It was back and forth. They did, they went to lock up. Wyatt cut him off, which I thought was pretty cool, actually, because he didn't see that all night. Let's see what else. It was a lot of back and forth, like, tough guy, I'm stronger than you things. Like, they went for the shoulder tackles. Then after they did the shoulder tackles, Reigns is like, okay, let's lock up. So they locked up. Reigns pushed Wyatt back. Bray powdered, went and worked the crowd, came back in. They locked up again. Wyatt got the upper hand on Reigns that lock up, pushed him back. Crowd cheered, obviously, because Reigns got beat down. There's a lot of, power moves. Like, there's a lot of body slams you didn't see all night, spine buster, stuff like that. The one part I found interesting, though, because this guy wasn't advertised until yesterday. Reigns went for the Superman punch, hit Wyatt, went for the pin, the lights go out, everyone's like, what the hell's going on? And then the lights go back on, and the black sheep, Braun Strowman, standing in the middle of the ring. Picks up Reigns. We still have no idea how Reigns got on the ground, because he Superman punched Wyatt. And then Strowman picks him up, gives him the big bear hug. He starts to, like, pass out. Ambrose comes in, his music hits, comes in, huge pop, obviously. Comes in, him and Wyatt go at it. Ambrose hits Dirty Deeds on Wyatt, and then goes after Strowman, obviously because he dropped Reigns as soon as Ambrose's music hit, comes in, beats him up, gets into the corner, beats him down, goes back to Wyatt. Strowman turns around, and he gets speared by Reigns. There was no winner in this match, obviously, because it was like disqualification kind of thing. But it was just like crowd went home happy. Ambrose and Wyatt posed in the ring. I mean, Ambrose and Reigns, sorry, posed in the ring. Then both their musics hit at the same time. They went out, shook hands, signed autographs. Crowd went home happy.
There you go.
That was the show. Ambrose yes. got popped during that match than Reigns did, especially when he came in at the end.
There you go. Well, it sounds like you had a good time last night.
It was good, actually. I got to take my son. He was kind of into it, but not that much. I mean, he's into wrestling when I wrestle, but he doesn't like watching it on TV, and he was also pissed off because obviously John Cena wasn't here, and that's his favorite wrestler besides me.
Yeah, how old is the kid?
7.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yeah, but the best part about that is that I went wearing the exact same John Cena shirt as he had on, the lime green one.
God, you didn't.
I did. And I bleached blonde my hair before we went to with him.
Okay, you fail as a wrestling fan, but you make up for it for being a dad.
Exactly. Thanks.
So there you go. All right, and that was the WWE House Show here in Calgary Saturday night. I'd like to say thank you very much to the country boy Aaron Frost for coming on and giving that really in-depth, detailed report. I don't think we've ever had a house show report that broken down before on this program ever.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks again, Aaron, and we'll talk to you soon. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We've got WTR Pick'em coming up right after this break. Can't hit the ball if you ain't swinging the bat. And like a home run, that boy is not coming back. Rise like green, kid with a dream. Went from never seen straight to the face on a magazine. Now my team got anthem. Y'all frozen, a cold hook from the champion.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE.
Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
This is Amazing Kong, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And thanks once again to the folks at PW Mania. Hey, for all of your wrestling news and opinions, check them out, www.pwmania.com. Proud affiliates of the Wild Talk Radio Network. That being said, are you guys ready to play Pick'em?
Sure, if it means getting the show over and done with for another week.
There you go.
That's the spirit.
That's some kind of spirit.
I've put off playing Metal Gear Solid 5 for you guys. I really want to get back to playing that goddamn game.
Don't lie. You just want to watch the newest episode of Fear the Walking Dead because I didn't air it last week.
No. I want to go and play my game. As far as I'm concerned, fuck Fear the Walking Dead.
Fuck fear, drink beer. There you go. All right. Now, there are a couple of caveats with Night of Champions here. We don't know who the Divas champion is going to be, and we don't know who the tag team champions are going to be. So we're just going to take a stab at it. And if any corrections...
Are we using some sort of logic-based algorithm?
Well, yeah, we're going to use our logic versus WWE logic. And derive it from there.
Wow.
People will figure out what we're talking about eventually.
Yeah, they will.
Eventually, yeah. So yeah, we're gonna if we have to wind up changing things around, well, we've got all week for you guys to change anything. Once again, if you're in the chat room, play along with us live, mark down your picks. We don't need anything but who you think's going to win the match. It'll be recorded and not set in stone until Sunday, right before the beginning of the pay-per-view. So you've got all week long to change things around on all the various social media sites that we have up and running here for Wild Talk Radio. That being said, let's kick it off with Dolph Ziggler taking on Rusev. And every time I see the name Rusev, I just want to call him Vince. I don't know why. It's weird. Strange. Anyway, Omega, who wins?
Oh, geez. I can't remember who's won last or most recently in this feud.
They haven't. No one's won.
Oh, yeah. This is the feud that never ends.
We've had a disqualification. We had the double countout. And
it goes on and on, my friend.
Yeah, apparently for another 4 months at least, too.
Some people started watching not knowing what it
is. Shut up!
Oh, I need to correct him for a second. Don't put your stuff in the chat room because King Kins is not in the chat room, so he won't see the picks. So best bet is to put them on Facebook.
Well, you know what? Put them in the chat room anyway, but yeah, you'll still have to put them on Facebook.
Because King Kins just jumped for joy somewhere, probably at work, because the Cowboys just made a comeback and beat the Giants.
Yeah, who cares? It's the Cowboys and it's the Giants. Like I said, who cares?
I'm just saying because football's happening. Football's back, everybody.
There you go. Football. Yeah, football. But, yeah, you know, you can post your picks in the chat room as we go along anyway. Just, you know, at least it gives us a little bit of an idea of who you're going for. And then post them on Facebook. But, yeah, Ziggler versus Rusev Omega, you're still not sure?
I will... For now, I'm going to say... Oh, Jesus Christ.
Just go with Summer Rae and you win.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go with Rusev for now, because I doubt they're going to stretch this feud out 4 more months as it is, just to wait for Lana's recovery. They'll do something in between, and then when Lana comes back, they'll reignite it.
Okay, there you go. Mace.
I'm going with a no finish.
Another one? That's just a cop-out on your part, isn't it?
No, not really.
Okay, so are you calling a double count out, DQ, or?
I'm calling a schmuzzle.
Schmuzzle. All right, there you go. Well, I'm going to actually pick Ziggler. I'm picking Ziggler. What the hell?
We're covering all our bases.
There you go. Now, Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns are teaming back up to take on the Wyatt family, but they're going to pick a third partner. We don't know who that is. However, the odds are more than excellent. The mystery partner will be revealed no later than next Sunday night.
The mystery partner will be revealed through an accidental posting on the website last week.
Yeah.
No one's got a full screenshot of the site under that. I'm still calling Photoshop.
No, that was not Photoshopped.
Then why is there no picture of the entire webpage? There's only that little section.
Because...
Oh, your argument is sound, and I thoroughly agree.
Because I said so, damn it. And you don't have to worry about logic, because being a parent, because I said so, is supposed to work.
You're not my daddy.
I don't want to be your daddy.
I don't want you to be my daddy.
Okay, get off this track, because it's just starting to get creepy. Wyatt family versus Reigns, Ambrose, and mystery partner, Omega.
Judging by Raw, I'd almost say Randy Orton, but the speculation is that might have been to write him off of TV for a break. It's kind of hard to tell.
But then he's been working the house shows and everything.
Yeah, you know? So there's no real, there's no real certainty here. For the sake of that, I'm probably, God, I hate to go heel twice in a row, but I'm going to go with the Wyatts simply because they've got a new debut. You know, it would squash that and nothing to have them debut with the team and not win.
Okay. Mace.
What am I picking?
You're picking Wyatt family versus Reigns, Ambrose, and somebody.
Reigns, Ambrose, and somebody.
Who's the somebody?
That's the question.
I'm actually going to go with the leak and go with, like, Baron Corbin.
Is he the right person to be with that trio?
He has the right look to be in with that trio. That's all that they give a shit about. There's nothing about the attitude, heel, face, whatever. He looks like he belongs in that little group, so that's why they put him in there.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's like if you got a big-ass bushy beard, you belong with the Wyatts.
Let me just get this out of the way right now. Guys, speculate on them actually calling up Samoa Joe.
No.
No.
Way too soon. And right in the thick of things in NXT.
Just to put that to rest.
And also, you were talking, Rock just asked, would he fit with the group? No, Joe would not fit with that group.
No, not at all. I just wanted to throw that out there so we could actually put that to rest. There have been a few people I've talked to this past week. They're absolutely positive it's Samoa Joe, and they just don't get it. Doesn't matter how much you explain it to them. So, don't expect that. But if it's an NXT call-up, Baron Corbin, then I got to go Reigns, Ambrose, and Corbin. But if it's somebody else, then I got to pick Wyatt family. Now... do we want it to be Baron Corbin? I don't know. Who else on the WWE roster could it be other than Randy Orton coming back as a surprise to join him? There might be one or two, but it's still a reach. So right now, officially, I will pick the Wyatt family. I might change that by Thursday, but for now, I'm picking the Wyatt family.
Come on. You know, we just want to see Bull Dempsey get called up and betray them and go with the Wyatts, right?
There you go.
Or even better, we put Enzo just showing up out of nowhere and joining.
No Kaz, just Enzo.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, so the next one, here's the first caveat. It's either going to be the New Day or the Primetime Players, depending on who's holding the titles.
We can pretty much say it's going to be New Day.
Yeah, taking on the Dudley boys. Gonna say that it's the New Day versus Dudley. How long have the New Day held the titles?
They just won the belts, Tim. SummerSlam.
But this is their second go-round, right?
Yeah.
Hmm. Mace, what do you think?
DQ. Somebody's going through a table. So it'll be technically New Day wins by DQ, but I'm gonna go out on a limb and say Kofi's gonna go through a table.
Hmm. Omega.
Okay. Are we actually picking like what the match is going to be, or who's actually going to be in that match?
What the match like the outcome of the match? Who's going to retain? Who's going to have the titles, or who's going to win?
Actually, for now, I'm going to say New Day, if only because I fully expect this to actually lead to an actual tables match.
Okay. At first. Just because of the second go-around, them holding the belts and stuff like that, and Dudley boys, one of the agreements they must have signed with WWE is that they get a title run. Initially, I was thinking that, and then Mace spoke up, and I'm thinking, you know what? That's a great setup for a tables match. New Day retains via DQ.
Well, you also got to remember, what's been the whole center of this feud between the Dudleys and New Day?
Save the tables. Save the tables.
Trombone. Exactly.
That didn't sound like a trombone. There you go. So there's that one. And of course,
clip.
Huh?
And what? Clip.
Shut up. I don't think so. The next match on the card, of course, is the other caveat that we mentioned earlier, which is the Divas Championship title match. And I just want to point out to country boy Aaron Frost, who's listening, yes, I understand Moolah held the women's title for bloody ever, and that title record will never be broken. This is the Divas title. It's a different thing. So don't go whatever, jackass. There. That being said, we're looking at a rematch between Charlotte and Nikki, in my opinion, Omega.
Yeah, I'm pretty much calling the same thing.
Yeah, but who wins?
God, I'm picking a lot of heels, but I think Nikki wins.
Oh, okay. Wow. Mace.
With severe shenanigans, Nikki wins.
I'm going the opposite way. It's going to be Charlotte will be retaining and going in as champion, because WWE is derp.
Yeah,
they can't brain ever. They have a constant case of the dumb.
Yeah, I think that we all pretty much unanimously agreed Charlotte was going to wind up with the title tomorrow night, didn't we?
Yeah,
and
well, yeah,
you know, I'm with Mace. She retains my pick. Now, if Charlotte loses tomorrow but wins on Saturday.
Sunday.
Mason, I still get Mace, or what? Sunday.
Sunday.
Mason, I still get credit for that because we still pick Charlotte.
No.
Shut up. I just want to point that out. Up next, WWE U.S. Championship match. The first of two titles being defended by Seth Rollins. Of course, defending against John Cena, and this is John Cena's rematch clause. Oh, God. Mace.
John Cena.
That's it.
There's so much defeat.
It was just like total defeat there. Funny. So, Omega.
Cena.
That was resignation. That wasn't defeat. That was resignation. Cena.
Cena wins, lol.
Yeah, well, when Seth Rollins retains, I'm going to be able to say I told you so.
So you're picking Seth Rollins?
Yeah, I'm picking Seth Rollins. And then, of course, we've got the WWE World Heavyweight Title Championship match. Seth Rollins defending against Sting. Omega.
Honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing Sting win it, but no, I'm thinking Rollins.
Okay. Mace.
Sting wins the match. He doesn't get the belt.
Ooh. He's getting all like into it there. Yeah, okay. I'm picking Sting to win. This is WWE paying Sting back for doing the job at WrestleMania by giving him the belt to hold for a couple of months. And then he's got a WWE title under his belt, so to speak, when they induct him into the Hall of Fame. And that, everybody, is Pick'em for Night of Champions. Don't forget, because of Night of Champions, next Sunday night we're on an hour later, 9 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Eastern. But for now, I think it's time for the all-time greatest.
who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
This week in the conversation to determine the all-time greatest Survivor Series moment, it's the debut of The Undertaker taking on the moment of the double turn, featuring Demolition, The Powers of Pain, and Mr. Fuji Omega.
I don't know how you put anything up against the debut of The Undertaker and actually let it stand a chance. Like, there's a few things I could think of that are going to give it any kind of run for its money. I went back and watched it just to refresh my memory. And, you know, it ends on Taker just like leaving the ring and just getting counted out while he was busy beating down Dusty Rhodes. But, you know, he kind of dominated in what offense he got. Like, he tombstoned Coco Beware into the next week. He's extremely dominant in the two he did eliminate in that match. So it was an impressive debut. And like Gorilla and Roddy were selling it great. Just for the legacy of that moment, I don't think I would hesitate to pick anything against that.
Miss.
Debut of The Undertaker. Just copy and paste what Omega said.
Tim Stein.
Yeah, copy and paste the copy and paste.
Okay, so Omega, you're the only one who has an opinion on the show, apparently.
No, we're just on such agreement. We don't have anything else to add because he said it all. Shut up.
Alright, Team Hogan versus Team Andre taking on Shawn Michaels and Diesel partnership breaking up. Mace.
Yeah, I'm going Shawn Michaels and Diesel breaking up a partnership. So only because Jeff Jarrett gets smashed on his ass twice in a row and the entire team gets counted out all at once. Which has never been repeated in any other Survivor Series match. So, yeah. As much as Team Hogan versus Team Andre was, like, setting a standard for Survivor Series matches, I'm going uniqueness of how one ended.
Omega.
See, you talk about, like, Survivor Series matches ending weird. You go back and look at Hogan and Andre's Survivor Series teams. Like, not only does Hogan not make it to the end of the match, he gets eliminated. After, he comes back and starts attacking Andre with the belt.
Mm-hmm.
Which is supposed to be a fan, like, send the fans home happy thing. Hey, the big hero still got one over on the big heel. It's a really heel thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's a very sore loser thing to come in with a foreign object and start beating your opponent down after they, you know, after they got a win over you.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a bizarre moment, you know, the way you remember Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn and Diesel just like that set up so much, you know, and that's I mentioned earlier, like he went on right after that and took the title right off of
Bob Backlund.
Yeah, like why? Fuck! Of course, to make a dumb comment. I can remember that name out of nowhere, and then I'm trying to make an actual valid point, and I completely blank.
Well, that's how it goes.
Yeah, but that set up a lot. That was the first push for Diesel, and then later Kevin Nash actually be a big deal. So that set up a lot for both of those guys.
Tim, what do you think?
Oh goodness, Hogan Andre. You know, it's the classic feud. It did, you know, set the bar at that point in time. Michaels and Diesel, for when it was a bigger deal, I think. Just because it was two buddies who busted up, on top of everything else that went down. What it opened up immediately following for the next couple of years before Diesel buggered off, I'd have to give that one the edge.
So, Shawn Michaels and Diesel partnership breaking up moves on next week in the conversation of the all-time greatest Survivor Series moment. Bob Backlund wins the WWF Championship from Bret the Hitman Hart. taking on the debut of Kurt Angle, and you have the WWF defeating the Alliance.
And the, I better be able to remember Backlund's name next week.
And the Undertaker wins the WWF Championship from Hulk Hogan. Next week on the all-time greatest conversation.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Alright, so here we go. Mace, would you rather have a 10-hour dinner with a headstrong politician from an opposing party or attend a 10-hour concert from a music group you detest?
10-hour dinner with a politician, because at least there's food to dull some of that conversation.
Alright, Tim, would you rather live the rest of your life as a monk or be followed continuously by the paparazzi?
Let the paparazzi call him.
How come?
Because I'm not fucking religious. It's bullshit.
Plus, paparazzi, you follow me for 5 minutes, get bored, and find somebody else.
I'll just tell him a few jokes.
Well, that would scare everyone off. Omega, would you rather have a dragon or be a dragon?
Have a dragon.
How come?
Well, because then I don't actually like have to worry about
somebody owning.
Well, walking into Walmart and like, oh my god, a dragon just walked into Walmart.
Right,
dude, but, a dragon buying Transformers. What the fuck?
Yeah, but if I just fly my dragon off to Walmart and just sit him in the parking lot,
as long as you don't take up any handicapped spots.
What if my dragon's missing a leg? You insensitive dick.
That's the dragon, not you.
Plus, he's got a dragon. He can pick any parking spots he's like. I don't think anybody is going to argue with somebody who has a dragon as a pet.
It kind of helps when my mode of transportation can actually set the parking attendant on fire.
Okay, that would just be wrong.
Hey, but that's the dragon doing it, not me.
Dragon doing it, not you. Okay. Mace, would you rather eat a handful of hair or lick 3 public telephones?
They still have public telephones?
Yes. What's a public telephone?
Yeah, what?
A payphone.
A what?
It's the thing Superman used to transform in.
Oh. I suppose just for the novelty, I'd probably say the payphones. Because, here's the thing. My hair's getting longer, and as Omega can also attest, when you have long hair, you tend to eat your own hair quite a lot.
Okay. Tim, would you rather secretly have sex with a bear or have everyone think you had sex with a bear, even though you didn't?
Let everybody think I did.
Why?
I ain't fucking no bear.
Okay.
And to be fair, there's not many people who would fuck with a guy who could subdue and fuck a bear.
Good point. And Omega, would you rather kiss a horse or lick a cow?
Where am I licking the cow? This is a very important part of this.
Where do you think you're licking the cow?
I don't want to think because you're the one asking this.
It's cheek, Omega. You're licking its cheek.
No, it'd be kiss the horse.
Why?
It's funnier.
Okay.
Not to mention that's just like... Okay, it's lip contact. I am not actually running my tongue up an animal's side.
or any other part of the side.
Yeah.
There you go. And that being said, that brings to an end another edition of WT or Sunday Night. Thanks, you idiots, for tuning in. I call you idiots affectionately, only because it's your fault that we're still doing this 11 and a half years later. Thanks for continuing to pay attention to us doing our little hobby here. Appreciate it very much. That being said, tomorrow night, another edition of the Raw Post Show.
After a one-week break, we're back with the season premiere of the Raw Post Show live at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that happens on the season premiere of Monday Night Raw, and plus Eagles and Falcons by tomorrow, so part of the show is probably talking about football. Tune in. It's the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. And, of course, Thursday nights is another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Wreck, starring Lindsay Ward, our very own diva.
Go back and listen to our interview with the former Pro Wrestling Guerrilla owner Scott Loss as he talks this new comic book series, talks about Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and all that other fun stuff. You can, on this Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll talk NXT, SmackDown, we'll be previewing Night of Champions, and talking all the news that you can possibly handle. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out The Rack Invades Dragon Con podcast just released today. As Lindsay went to Dragon Con last weekend, we have a whole podcast about it. More stuff coming to RackRadioShow.com from Dragon Con in the next week or so. Check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Season 4 Episode 10 now available. Episode 11 will be available at some point this coming week. You can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Rack Radio Show, RackRadioShow.com. Follow Lindsay on Twitter, at LindsWard. Think I got all that stuff there.
There you go. And, of course, you're not done plugging yet, Rock, because why don't you tell us about CB Radio, midnight-ish Saturdays.
We just did the 400th episode of CB Radio last night.
Well, so next Saturday's your season premiere.
No. It's just episode 401. Episode 400 is going to go down as the episode Kane Kins hates the most. Why?
Was he picked on?
Because he wasn't picked on. Well, kind of, in a way, he was picked on.
Okay.
The goal of the show, in the 2 hour or so we did the show, was to see how many times we could say the words, Kane's penis. Since we did an episode 3 years ago where we said it 203 times, the goal was to break that record, or get as close as possible. And, well, since Kane Kins is the guy who keeps all track of everything, he's got to go and listen to the entire show and count how many times we say Kane's penis.
God, I'm glad I'm not King Kittens.
But yeah, we talked Doctor Who, we talked sports, we talked everything. It was CB Radio 400. Go back and listen to it at the all-new website, cbradiolive.com. You can get to follow the show on Twitter and Facebook, CB Radio Live. Hashtag Blame Rob.
There you go. And of course, you can follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. You can also follow Wrestle Talk Radio on Twitter. Once in a blue moon, a tweet gets sent out. It's at WTR Sunday Night.
Yes.
Yes, it is. And don't forget to check out both Facebook pages. One's a group, one's a like. It is Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network or Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow me on Twitter at Flames Forums. You can also follow my alter ego at Trivial Tim on Twitter, and check out my new Facebook page, Man. Just look for Man Kitchen, not a group, not a like page. It's an actual, like, an individual's page called Man Kitchen. Facebook.com/menchefs. Type that in, and you'll find it.
That's just like TJ Reviews. It makes no sense.
I know, but I tried to do Man Kitchen, but there are about 15 other people who did it already. So. Facebook. Fucking sucks. Right, Omega?
Suck it.
Suck it! Facebook! So, yeah. I just wanted to emulate Omega. That's why.
So you're following in Omega's footsteps now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, I don't have 450,000 people checking out videos that I post about me putting together a brand new computer.
You wish you did, though.
Well, not really. That means I'd have to put together a computer. Anyway, Mace is on the Twitter handle machines.
Twitter handle machines. Okay.
Yes, I am on Twitter at the Mason. Feel free to give that a follow as I talk about random bullshit every now and again and retweet random shit. You can also check out my YouTube works over at youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage, where I will be posting stuff at some point. Maybe. If I can find the motivation.
Sooner or later.
Yeah. It'd be like TJ putting up plastic out. It happens about once a year.
There you go. Ooh, dig. There you go, Hannah Omega. Speaking of Omega.
Mm-hmm. So, to follow me over on social media, it is TJ Omega over on Twitter, and as stated, TJ Reviews over on Facebook, because people register other names before I did.
Pricks.
To find my actual content, you can go to tjomega.org, which is due for a facelift here in the next coming weeks. Or the majority of my videos can be found at youtube.com/TJOmega. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday bring new reviews. Tuesday and Thursday, live stream. So most of the week, completely new content every day.
There you go. That being said, I think we're just about done for the night, aren't we? Wow.
Get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Wild Talk Radio Network.
Now we're done.
Now we're done.
All right, well, thanks once again to PW Mania. Check them out at www.pwmania.com. That being said, have a great week, everybody. See you next Sunday night, right after the pay-per-view. Welcome to my machine. Come.